Hello and welcome to D3 Talk Podcast, powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shruta Jananda, and today I have with me a very special guest, Nikhil Kamath, who's a co-founder and CIO at TrueBeacon and Zerodha. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Kamath.
Thank you, Shitaj. Thanks for having me.
Right. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, you've seen a 50% kind of rally since March, and do you think it has become too hot to handle type of a scenario for Indian markets? What is your hedge fund strategy at this point in time?
Sure. So in many ways, the current rally has kind of run ahead of the fundamentals. I think businesses on the ground are not doing too well, but the stock prices do not seem to be reflecting it. This could be because of excessive liquidity, a falling interest rate cycle, a plateauing real estate sector, many, many factors. But personally, I'm a bit skeptical and circumspect about short-term expectations that people might have of the market. At the current juncture, as a fund, we have hedged up to 80% of the positions we have. Okay. So we have a net exposure of just 20%. And this is the highest level of hedges that we are structurally allowed to have. And it kind of just, reiterates how skeptical we are about this rally and how we would rather lean on the direction of capital preservation at this point,
right,
and forgo any last leg of a rally or any 5-10% alpha that might be left in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And we're erring on the side of caution right now.
All right. Well, words of caution at this point in time coming from Mr. Kamath. Well, in terms of stocks, what is your strategy when it comes to picking, those lucky winners, given the fact that most of the investable universe has already risen and the liquidity wave has pushed many boats higher, which look promising when it comes to growth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think most stocks have seen a significant rally.
Mm-hmm.
For many practical reasons, we still don't know which industry will be worst affected once the moratorium is over and, companies actually have to come back and pay back the debt on their books.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know which companies will default, which companies will find it hard and will need to restructure their loan balances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very hard to call which companies might do well and which ones will not. The trend we seem to have seen in our country for the last few years is the largest of companies typically who have a big moat on their books continue to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So our bets continue to remain with companies like Infosys, Reliance, SBI, Cipla.
Okay.
We feel these companies, because of the moat they have and the amount of cash they might have in their reserves,
mm-hmm,
will be best placed to kind of be able to circumvent any of the issues that the end of the moratorium and the impending, loan recalls and stuff like that, which might come about right after this is over. So we are sticking to the largest of companies. I would say a majority of the allocation that we have made is towards the five largest companies in India.
Right. So five largest companies are something to be on the watch list at this point in time. Well, before I go ahead, heartiest congratulations to you on completing 1 year in terms of the hedge fund strategy, and wanted to know how the journey it has been so far for the fund and any new products which you plan to launch in near future.
Sure. So it's been a year which has flown by very quickly, Shitaj. I think most people would agree that the pandemic has kind of made all our lives a blur, and people have not realized actually what has happened in the last 6 months.
Right.
As a fund house, it being TrueBeacon's anniversary, our goal was always to outperform the markets by 6-8%. By markets, I mean the Nifty, which is our benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that, and we've about a 25% alpha at this point. We've gotten lucky on a couple of fronts and managed to have a really, really good year. We're probably the best performing fund in India for the last 1 year.
Great.
But going ahead, I think, like I was mentioning a little while earlier, I think our goal has now drifted drastically towards capital preservation.
Right.
We're not seeking that much alpha right now. More so we are, 80% hedged, trying to prevent any capital losses if there were to be a significant correction in the market. So our outlook has changed completely. In terms of new products, we have the FPI, which allows for foreign investors to come into the country. We've gone after individual ultra-HNIs across the world from America, Europe, Southeast Asia. We're starting to see the first few investors come in and money has started trickling in from that pocket.
Okay.
Very excited about that. That was our fund two. Mm-hmm. Our fund three we are working on right now and it should be out in about the next 6 months.
Right. Well, wishing you all the very best for the upcoming launches. And there's something which I'm sure many of us got worried, and that was the GDP data. And but can we say that the worst is over? And, you know, I feel that this is something which the market might just be discounting at this point in time. What are your views on that?
So GDP is a very backward-looking indicator. It never tells you what will happen in the ensuing quarter, but more about what has happened up until now. Mm-hmm. And the government tends to revise these numbers so many times that the legitimacy of these numbers has to be questioned at some level.
Okay.
I think we all realize that things are bad and it does not look like things are going to pick up anytime soon, considering, you know, we're becoming one of the most prominent pandemic affected regions in the world and the numbers are going up day after day. So I would continue to remain circumspect about the future. Right. I think GDP has been bad, but I don't see any immediate recovery happening for any reason. I think this will be a prolonged slump, a malaise that we will continue to remain in for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. And the advice would be the same to everybody. I think many times markets kind of run up on liquidity and sentiment and people often forget to, you know, watch the fundamentals and to see how well businesses are actually doing. Because at the end of the day, you're not just buying a stock, you're buying the underlying business.
Right.
And we would kind of recommend that people watch the fundamentals closely and stay on the side of good companies, good companies, conservative companies, which they believe will be around for the next decade at least.
Right. And what is the strategy which one should follow around asset allocation? I mean, how much money should one be parking, let's say, in overseas funds or stocks? And you talked about that, you know, foreign investors who want to, you know, invest in Indian companies. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. the kind of a strategy that you're working with. But if in case mm-hmm. someone who wants to invest in overseas funds, I mean, what is the kind of asset allocation with which one should be looking at?
Yeah, so if you're talking about overseas funds which are onshore in India, like I think Motilal has one and stuff mm-hmm. like that, they've done exceedingly well because everything in the US markets has rallied immaterial of what industry over the last, 6 months or 7 months. So things are pretty heated up there too. I mm-hmm. think we have an impending election in November. And since Trump has kind of sold his re-election based on how well the economy has done under him, I think the chances of those markets correcting before November might not be very high. I'm sure he'll do something to, you know, keep the markets up until the re-election is over at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for the very short term, you can definitely invest into foreign funds. But if you're taking a longer term perspective, they again are, you know, very, very expensive right now and should be approached with a lot of caution. I think equity as asset class today mm-hmm. At this point is very expensive. But the problem is alternate asset classes right now are yielding nothing, practically nothing. So it might not be the worst idea to stay in fixed income or cash until, you know, you get opportunities which typically come about every 1 or 2 years.
Right. And where are the pockets of opportunity? You know, is it mid-cap IT or the chemical sector or the agri-chemical space? Where do you find pockets of opportunities at this point in time?
Right. So there is a rebalance happening and money is flowing towards a newer, more innovative kind of company.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem in India, Shitij, is these companies pretty much always go to the private equity side to raise capital and they don't come into the stock markets.
Right.
Everything from a Flipkart or a Ola or a Swiggy kind of companies. I think something has to change their structure. naturally. And we have real audience. I think up until then, most of the companies that are listed are not really on the forefront of innovation. You know, most of these companies are either in the services sector or are old school manufacturing companies. So I don't see very many opportunities there. But my personal picks right now in the allocations I have been in the IT pharma spaces. I think these two spaces do quite well when there is turmoil. So I have a reasonable allocation to both of these sectors.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Kamath, and listeners, for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Shritij.